Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Yesterday was the biggest gambling day of the year, the Super Bowl. So much money changing hands all over the big game, but how much of that was legal? There is a dark side to sports betting. It's controlled by the mob, taints professional sports, and it can ruin lives. But what about online fantasy sports? Is that gambling? Well, according to the Texas Attorney General, yes, it is. But what to do about that? It's still online in Texas. You can still play the game here and spend your money, lose your money, win some money. Tomorrow night on PBS Frontline, we get a peek at the underground world of sports betting and see how people are trapped by its allure and high stakes. It's Frontline's Fantasy Sports Gamble, a collaboration with the New York Times. It premieres tomorrow night on KLRN here in San Antonio at 10 p.m. and it's online at pbs.org/frontline. And with us to talk about this is Walt Bogdanich. He's a reporter for the New York Times who partnered with Frontline for this reporting. And Walt, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
How big is online fantasy sports?
Well, it's in the billions. They're not public, the companies that run the big sites, so we can only guess. But based on people who do analyze that company, there are billions of dollars that are exchanged. And so it is a huge business, and there are a lot of little companies now that are getting into the game as well. So it's a wide open and woolly kind of wide west kind of operation now.
And who plays?
Well, typically the sites prefer to deal with the millennial generation. Younger people are more, I think, care more about the instant gratification that comes from the way daily fantasy sports is played now. And you can play it on your cell phone, whatever. But what experts who deal with people who have gambling problems tell me is that this is precisely the group that is most vulnerable to developing gambling problems. Because they're younger, because they are willing to take more risks, because boys are more willing than girls to take risks, and because boys actually think they know a lot about sports. And that is an interesting combination.
So we're talking males below 30?
Well, yes, that's, you know, or early 30s. I asked the CFO of FanDuel, which is one of the two big sites, you know, how many of their customers are below the age of 30, and he said in 50% to 60%, which is a significant amount.
That's one of the most sought-after demographics out there.
Yeah, it is. I guess because, well, I don't know. I'm not in the business of advertising.
They don't watch TV, you know, except for sports,
true.
And they're up-and-comers, and get them hooked on your product now, and they'll be hooked for life.
Well, I think that's the goal. They probably wouldn't use the word hooked, but yes, they are. They are a valued demographic, and they love to play. And you know, they don't have sort of the judgment that comes with you know, older people, and so they're more willing to jump in and try new things. And that's not always a bad idea. Sometimes it is.
And I guess it's. So why is this a problem? Fantasy sports is because it's gambling, but we have gambling. Gambling is around us. You just look at yesterday, any place you want to go see the game, Super Bowl parties, people are laying down bets.
Sure they are. Look, most people I know, including myself, don't believe that gambling should be illegal. I'm not supposed to have an opinion like that, I guess, since I'm a reporter, but there it is. I think the issue is not whether it should be legal or not legal, but, you know, whether it should be regulated. And, you know, if it is legal, then it should be regulated. And supposedly fantasy sports is legal, although there's an increasing number of attorneys general who believe it is not. And because individual states really have the jurisdiction over gambling issues. But, you know, some people have a lot of fun doing it. Probably most people have a lot of fun playing fantasy sports and don't get into trouble. But I think where it becomes, you know, important is are those people who do it too much or lose too much and can't control their impulses.
Right, but we have people talk about it's a game of skill versus it's a game of luck. But we have to weigh how much skill is involved, how much luck is involved. If there is a material element of chance, that's enough to say this is gambling.
Well, that's the opinion of a lot of attorneys general, and there is an element of chance in these games. There's no question about it. If you have the misfortune of having one of your games rained out and you're playing daily fantasy baseball, well, you're out of luck, because if you had players on that who were supposed to compete on that day, you don't get any points and you're going to lose. So, I mean, whether it rains or it doesn't, or whether the wind blows or it doesn't, and certain players play better in wind, others don't. Some pitchers, you know, their curveball won't work if the wind isn't out there. Who knows? There are a lot of factors in there that really go beyond just the skill of the player and do, you know, involve luck.
And so when players say that they are winning, are they winning against the system or are they winning against other players?
They're winning against other players. And the one of the issues with the advertisements, the people who say that there needs to be more oversight of those, involves the fact that those advertisements suggest that it's really easy to win. And just about everybody wins. And not only does everybody win, but you've got millions of dollars out there to win. And that's the problem with those ads, is they went, I think, in the minds of a lot of the experts that I talked to, way over the top in their enthusiasm for this, without ever pointing out, as they probably should have, that, you know, there are more losers than winners. And there are people who develop gambling problems. Now, they say it isn't gambling, and that's their position, that's their story, and they're sticking to it. But there are others who say it is gambling, and there needs to be more consumer protections for people who are, you know, likely to develop, or in the population group that, you know, are more likely to develop gambling problems. I mean, one of the issues here is when they say it's more skill than luck. Well, everybody I know, when I was that age, even now, we think we know everything about sports. Every guy I know is thinking, you know, you sit in bars, you hear the arguments, I know this, they know all the statistics. And that can lure people into thinking, well, if this is skill and it's not like, you know, a roulette wheel where you throw the ball in and it decides what it should do, I mean, this is something you can control. And that's one of the allures of the game, but it's also one of the dangers of it, because people come into it thinking, oh, I'm a sports guy, I know enough to win at this thing, and it doesn't always work out that way.
Those people are the fish, and then there are the sharks, people who spend full-time hours exploring the ins and outs and strategies of fantasy sports online, and they're able to devour up the fish. So does that make it a game of chance or a game of bad luck or whatever, or just or not having the skills to pay the bills? We're going to talk more about online fantasy sports. Call in if you've got a question or a comment. Do you feel like this is gambling? Do you think it needs government regulation? Do you think people need to be protected from themselves, from getting addicted to online gambling, on online fantasy sports? And then what about straight up illegal online gambling? What about that? We're going to talk about that as well. This is the source on KSTX 210-614-8980. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Is it a fantasy to say that fantasy sports betting is not gambling? A Frontline investigation looks into the dark side of online gambling and fantasy sports. There are winners, losers, laws, and loopholes. Texas has already said that it's illegal gambling, but it's still game on in this state. What's next for fantasy sports? Frontline's Fantasy, The Fantasy Sports Gamble, is a collaboration with the New York Times, premieres tomorrow night here on KLRN in San Antonio, PBS at 10 p.m. and online at pbs.org/frontline. And we're joined by the New York Times reporter, Walt Bogdanovich. He is partnered with Frontline for the reporting on this. So, Walt, we see these promises that are being made in these commercials, that this is just free money, it's just going to rain down, and you're just going to be celebrated with these big checks and a giant winner's belt and all these weird things. Obviously, that's not true for everybody, but is that misleading?
Well, in the opinion of the New York Attorney General, it is. And if anyone saw those commercials, and I don't know how any living individual could have missed them last August and September when they were just inundating the airwaves, they were running a commercial, a fantasy sports commercial, you know, every minute of the day. If you evened it out, there would be one for every minute of the day. It was inescapable. And if you sat and listened to them and watched them, if you would conclude that, you know, this is fun, and it may be fun. I don't deny that. But it's also the strong suggestion that it's easy to win. And that is not the case.
Let's go to the phone lines. Numbers 210-614-8980. Samir is on the line. And Samir, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
All right. Thanks for having me. I'm glad you guys are having this discussion. Mine's more of a comment. I have friends who play fantasy sports. I don't personally. And every single one of them considers those sites gambling. My analogy is basically the same as horse racing. There's professionals who do horse racing, and there's amateurs who go to the track and gamble. But that's exactly what they're doing. They can't predict the outcome of the race no better than even the professional fantasy leaguers can actually predict what's going to happen that day, whether, like he was saying, it rains or it gets rained out or it's too windy. So I don't see how it's a game skill, like for a sport like bowling or, you know, anything like that, where you actually have to do it yourself. To me, that's skill. But if you're leaving it to outside variables such as athletes or a bad decision from a ref, that has to be chance in my mind. And I think these guys are just, you know, finding a loophole until eventually they'll probably become gambling.
All right. Thank you for that call. Appreciate it. Any reaction, Walt?
Well, there are a lot of people getting rich on that loophole, I'll tell you that much. Yes, actually, there is a lot of skill in it, but there's also a lot of luck in it. And I think your analogy to horse racing is an excellent one. It's very similar to poker. You know, why is horse racing, why is poker regulated as gambling, overseen by government agencies, and daily fantasy sports is not? Well, that's a good question, and that was one of the reasons why I decided to work with Frontline and to look at this issue. How did it happen that this huge multi-billion-dollar industry grew up without any regulation whatsoever? Fascinating question. It certainly took most of society by surprise, took me by surprise. Heck, I had never heard of fantasy sports until a year and a half ago. So for an industry like that to come up virtually overnight, and I'm sure for those who played it wasn't overnight, but I think for most people they didn't really even understand it or know it until recently. It is a phenomena, and unfortunately, I don't think the media did a very good job of chronicling it as it grew without regulation. It did not chronicle the bad effects of it, you know, the problem gamblers who have been harmed by it. I know it's easy for people to say that, well, you brought it on yourself, you shouldn't have gambled, it's your own fault. But there are some people who are, you know, I don't know, inclined to develop gambling problems. And I think as a society, we've concluded that having some kind of consumer protection for those kinds of people, that's a prudent thing. It's the right thing to do. It saves everybody a lot of heartache. And those really don't exist right now, not in the depth or, you know, effectiveness that experts say they should.
In the Frontline documentary, you show us two people who succumb to compulsive gambling, and that they were suckered into playing with fantasy online because they were told it wasn't gambling.
Right. Both of these individuals were problem gamblers outside the realm of fantasy sports. They knew they were gambling addicts. They knew that their lives were being ruined by it, and they worked hard to break that habit. And then along comes daily fantasy. And, you know, somebody recommends something, you know, here one of them said that he was given a free entry by a friend who also got a free entry. Another one said, well, I had played seasonal fantasy sports, which goes back decades. And that's where you pick a team and pick players and you wait for the whole season to see who won and lost. Well, it's hard to be addicted once a year making a bet like that. But when it's daily and you can bet over and over and over again, and I interviewed one player who was betting 400, 500 games a day, well, that can be very addictive. It's a real adrenaline rush, and you know, for some people, it takes over their lives.
Right, but they say they bet on these games to make sports more exciting. I mean, isn't sports supposed to be exciting in and of itself? That's why it's a sport?
One would think. I guess it's like if you have three drinks and you're feeling good, well, let's have a fourth and a fifth. I don't know. They feel it'll make it even better, the experience even better, and maybe it does for some people. I mean, it is true that, you know, in the old days, if you had a favorite team, you would watch, say, you know, the Cowboys on television, and that's it. And you, but now you're going to have the Cowboys on television. You're going to have, you know, three or four other games going on, and have your computers open, and you're going to be monitoring them because you have players from those teams competing on your fantasy team. So you end up watching multiple games on a given Sunday. And I think that's what the NFL likes. That's why they have embraced fantasy sports, even though over the years they have been huge opponents of gambling. They don't like it. They fought it. They feel it can lead to match fixing. With fantasy sports, they feel it won't. And maybe they're right, maybe they're not. I don't know. There's certainly no evidence that it has yet, but it does lead someone down the path sometimes towards some real problems.
Back to the phones with Roberto. And Roberto, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you. I just wanted to say, I mean, this goes way higher at a level. I think fantasy sports, of course, is gambling, but I'm also pro-gambling across the board, although I do think it should be heavily taxed. I mean, after all, you know, cigarettes are heavily taxed by the federal government. That's a gamble too, you know, and you've got luxury taxes, hotel taxes. And I just think, you know, all the gambling is fine. And then if people have problems with gambling, it's the same as anything else. Drugs, alcohol, gambling. We need to educate the public on how to avoid problems with these issues.
Okay, Roberto, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Walt?
That's a very good point. Yeah, there does need to be more education. The gambling experts that I've talked to, the people who treat problem gamblers, none of them are against gambling per se. It can be a very entertaining activity. I mean, I've gambled in casinos. It's not my thing, but on occasion I do it and I have a good time. And it's true in fantasy sports. I think most of the people who play have a good time. And I guess that's the point. They're willing to risk X amount of money to have that good time as long as you go in and say, okay, well, I might lose this, and I'm going to play so long, and when that time comes, I'm going to quit. Then it's fun. It's like going out for having a great expensive meal and seeing a movie and coming home. You know you're going to spend money. But at the end of the day, you decided that's what you wanted to do. For some people, that's really hard, and they don't know when to stop. They don't know how to stop.
Yeah, but you touch on this in the documentary about using credit cards. People are using their credit cards to partake in this entertainment, and they're racking up big debts, thousands and thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah, and ruining their lives, too.
So that's all the interest rates and everything else that comes along with that. It's not just taking money out of the cookie jar, but this is a long-term big debt.
It is, and it's a very sad story to listen to these guys talk about how they borrowed money to bet on fantasy sports. And as I think, you know, I mean, both of them had big gambling problems before, but yet they were lured in by fantasy sports to start playing again. And they didn't think it was gambling because the industry told them it wasn't gambling. Well, you know, that doesn't sit well with some attorneys general. And all those kind of issues now are at least being aired now. They weren't before, and I think it's healthy that we're now having a national discussion about this.
But then there is straight-up illegal sports gambling that is online. It's not fantasy sports, but it's just, you know, it's betting on the outcome of games.
Oh, it is, and it's as big as ever. It's just gone underground. And organized crime has a big stake in it. They make a lot of money. It's one of the biggest sources of revenue after narcotics trafficking. So, there is illegal gambling, and when it's illegal, when we're talking our frontline piece looked at offshore gambling sites. We went to visit one of the big ones in Curacao, 40 miles off of Venezuela, where a lot of these online sites, sports gambling sites, have their base of operations.
So that kind of led me to think that could be the future of fantasy online betting if they do rule that it is illegal, that it may never actually go away. It is so popular. The question is, in what context with the law will it exist into the future? We get a look at the dark side of online gambling, sports gambling on the front line. The program airs tomorrow night on KLRN at 10 o'clock. It's a cooperation with the New York Times and Frontline. It's also online at pbs.org/frontline. Walt, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And this is The Source on KSTX.